Marcy, you and I both grew up in the Cold War.
We did. I remember hiding behind my couch when I was a little kid during the Cuban Missile Crisis because I was sure they're about to bomb suburban Detroit.
We had those vivid memories, the U.S. and Soviet Union in conflict for years and years and years through our childhood. That's why I found it so interesting that while all that was going on, West Coast fishermen were working with Russian fishermen.
Well, that's the subject of a new exhibit called Wild East Meets Wild West that opens Sunday at the Pacific Maritime and Heritage Center in Newport, Oregon.
The collaboration between the fishermen from the rival countries was highly unusual for the time. Wally Pereira was the first U.S. general manager of the joint Soviet-U.S. venture.
And, of course, this was right at the height of the Cold War. We had Brezhnev on one side and we had Carter on the other. We had inflation occurring in the United States then. I mean, interest rates got up to, 16-18% or something. So it was a very difficult time. But American fishermen wanted to catch the fish and the Russians wanted to get the fish.
Here's how it happened. In 1976, the U.S. passed a law to extend control of U.S. waters out to 200 nautical miles. The goal was to stop overfishing, particularly by foreign fleets. The Magnuson-Stevens Act, as it was called, said that U.S. fishermen had top priority to fish within 200 miles, but the second priority went to joint operations between U.S. and foreign fishermen. Jim Talbot saw an opportunity. Talbot ran the Bellingham Cold Storage, a company that was buying fish. So Talbot hired fishery expert Wally Pereira to check it out. He quickly saw the potential benefits of working with the Russians.
The Soviet Union had this enormous fishing fleet. I mean, they were involved all over the world with these distant water fisheries and had something like 2 million tons of floating capacity.
And the Soviets knew some things about fishing that the Americans did not. Tony Allison worked on the U.S. side of the Marine Resources Partnership back in the early days of September 1978.
The Russians were the ones with the experience fishing for and processing these species. They knew where they were. They'd already fished for them for about a decade or a decade and a half before the joint venture ever got going. So they were the ones providing the knowledge.
The joint venture looked good on paper, but getting a deal was hard. Wally Pereira.
It was very, very difficult to work with the Soviets because they didn't fully understand how a marketplace worked. So the way in which they would determine things is through brute force. And so you had these acrimonious negotiations that would go on.
Eventually the deal was cut, but could the U.S. and Soviet fishermen work together? Tony Allison.
These people had never... Often an American had never seen a Russian before and vice versa. And you're on the high seas where a mistake can be very costly.
And it wasn't just the cross-cultural issues that had to be overcome.
American fishermen not only hadn't worked with Russians before, they had never delivered their fish at sea before to anybody.
The American fishermen had to figure out how to get their fish from their boat onto a Russian factory trawler, all the while bouncing around on the ocean. Nevertheless, the promise attracted a young Oregon gillnet salmon fisherman, Dave Frazier.
Between Alaska and the West Coast, millions of tons of fish available, and we were young and naive and thought, gee, this ought to work.
Wally Pereira was looking for people like Dave Frazier.
We called Wally up and said, gee, we'd like to do that. And he said, well, you need a boat, go build a boat. And that's what we did. We were... green as grass, I guess you'd say, in terms of approaching a brand new fishery with a new gear type.
So Dave and his partners bought a boat, set out to learn how to catch bottom fish, and then how to deliver them to factory trawlers at sea.
And so it was a unique kind of experience that an exchange between working Russian fishermen and working American fishermen, you know, not people that were trained as diplomats.
I don't remember any specific contradictions. Just because of two different political systems or different countries, really not.
Igor Besarab was the Russian deputy fish and fleet commander for the project.
Yeah, usual contradictions, not like between Soviets and Americans, but like between processors and catchers.
If you missed that last part, he said processors, that was the Russian factory trawlers, and catchers, that was the U.S. fishing boats delivering the fish. When they weren't working, the fishermen were hanging out. Tony Allison.
The American fishermen would almost always come onto the Russian boats, which were much bigger. They had a bakery. They had women on board often in some of the jobs. And we sit in the captain's, in the officer's mess and have food and vodka and tell jokes. I was often in the position of trying to translate these untranslatable fishermen's jokes, which ended up being quite similar.
The Russian ships had political officers on board. Their job was to make sure the Russians didn't get too familiar with the Americans. Igor Besarov remembers being instructed that when ashore, he should never accept refreshments from Americans.
Because they can put something in your drink and you can tell everything, even you don't know anything. You know, but it was stupid. Everybody understood that it is just crazy.
The Russian and U.S. fishermen were getting along, but not their governments. U.S. fisherman Dave Frazier.
One thing that really scared us all was when the Russians invaded Afghanistan in December of 1979. We were just a year into the fishery at that point, and here we thought, well, we built a boat for this fishery, and are we even going to have a market next year?
Have a market, they did, and it was a very lucrative market. Wally Pereira.
It was mind-boggling, really. I mean, we were up to something like $250 million a year worth of product and fish. I mean, it was a huge venture.
The unusual experience fishing was also rich for the understanding it created. Tony Allison.
I think they experienced how similar fishermen are, no matter where they're from, or no matter what they've been told about the other side, like Americans were told about Soviets and Soviets about Americans. When they got out there, they found the common language very quickly, whether or not, I mean, they could do sign language or signal various ways, but they understood what they were fishermen.
Wally Pereira.
Fishermen getting together, working together, eating borscht together, eating little canned fish off the Soviet boats, drinking vodka together, toasting Solzhenitsyn, toasting Hemingway, the real men in our lives, you know. It was just amazing to see.
The U.S.-USSR joint fishing venture did not last. Eventually, the U.S. fishermen built their own factory trawlers. They did not need the Russians anymore. I'm Ross Reynolds.